This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And as the people are logging in, the first of all, what we'll do, and as the evening will go on, the housekeeping issues that please address any question if you have to me in box, and just this is just to avoid any distractions. And this lecture will be recorded. You can ask questions later if you wish. Inshallah, after our lecture.
Recording in progress.
Thank you very much. Recording in progress. So can I ask, as the people are logging in, alhamdulillah, across Australia, can I ask Dr. Ashraf Shehta, before we begin, to please just give us a brief introduction of Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim, Dr. Ashraf Shehta. Dr. Ashraf Shehta is an orthopedic surgeon from Victoria, and he is a vice president of IMA. Dr. Ashraf Shehta.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much, Dr. Asif. Yeah, it's an absolute privilege, and I really feel that Imam Yahya Ibrahim is a brother. SubhanAllah, my father is Egyptian, as you know, and whenever I introduce fellow Egyptians, I often say that that all of them say Ummat Dunya, Masr Ummat Dunya Huwa Keda. Yani, it's such an amazing place to study. And I think for my introduction, rather than doing the normal method, I'm sure he's heard all of the accolades. He's, if people aren't aware, he's an internationally acclaimed academic and Islamic scholar. MashaAllah, he's literally all over the place. He's on Facebook, Instagram. My children have listened to a huge number of lectures because he traverses, alhamdulillah, both gaining the foundations of Islam in Egypt, where he was a Hafiz from a teen, and then went through the jurisprudence, then through exegesis, which is the tafsir of the Quran. And then on top of that, of gaining that foundation in Egypt, he then comes, having been involved in Canada and now in Western Australia, where he's now not only a teacher and assistant principal, he's still pushing the boundaries. And in fact, my understanding is he was awarded from the Western Australian government the Multicultural Community Service Award. And I suppose the idea in trying to give an introduction, which is probably, you know, I can't truly give a good introduction, this is really a reflection of what we as doctors and as surgeons really should aspire to. Because he has both worlds in both hands, and he's really taking everything about Islam and really acting and teaching at the pinnacle of this Islamic theology. And at the moment, even if you haven't and you're not aware, he is involved with the Yaqeen Institute. He's doing a huge lecture series, and they often cover both Islamic topics but also youth topics. And for me, the youth is the key. And subhanAllah, Imam Yahya Ibrahim is addressing this head on with a huge amount of knowledge. And inshallah, I hope that we all will gain a large amount of benefit from this topic. I know he's involved in the Melbourne community as well. He's even after this, as I understand it, he's presenting with a psychologist. So subhanAllah, I really hope that we can all be proud of a fellow Muslim, fellow scholar, fellow Australian, and I'm very, very pleased to present and to introduce him, inshallah.
Thank you very much, Dr. Shehta. I appreciate that. Can I ask Dr. Asil Al-Kiyad? Dr. Asil Al-Kiyad is our president of IMA Western Australia chapter. Dr. Asil is a consultant specialist in obstetrics and gynecology. She's very active, alhamdulillah, in Western Australia. Can I ask Dr. Asil Al-Kiyad to briefly introduce about IMA, please? Dr. Asil Al-Kiyad?
Sister Asil, you are on mute. Can you unmute yourself and on the video?
Just unmute yourself, please.
It could be that she needs somebody's. Oh, there we go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Sorry, maybe the internet has some issues. Thank you so much for having me. And it's really a privilege to be part of the Australian Islamic Medical Association. So talking about the Australian Islamic Medical Association is an evolving association of Muslim health professionals. We aim to establish a network of Muslim health care professionals for the purpose of establishing and implementing projects with a charitable intent to assist all the communities in Australia and even overseas who are in need of medical assistance. And the aim is to bring all the professions together that include doctors in the dentistry field, nurses, allied health professionals, and even like medical students or student nursing, all those professions, any students involved, to create a strong association and a strong voice across the world. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jin. Without a further ado, I request Dr. Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim, sorry, Sheikh, Doctor, inshallah, you will be a doctor someday. Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim, please give us your talk. Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim.
Once again, formally, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا اللهم صلي وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد في الأولين وصلي وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد في الملأ الأعلى يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم علمنا ما جهلنا من القرآن العظيم وذكرنا منه ما نسينا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا كبيرها وصغيرها يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ألهمنا رشدنا وَيَسِّرْ لَنَا الْأُمُورِ كُلِّهَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ Always we begin with the praise of Allah. We send our prayers and salutations of peace upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify with firmness, conviction that none is worthy of worship but Allah and that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. I always remind myself and you of the taqwa Allah azza wa jal. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inherits in you and I an inner love for him, a fear of him, a conscious hope in his mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that all of that is something that is of greater worth to us and in practice in our privacy and private life, more so than what we seek to show each other publicly, Allahumma ameen. First, let me say it's an honor and a privilege, alhamdulillah, to finally be able to gather with my dear brothers and sisters, the leaders of our medical community here in Australia. The Australian Islamic Medical Association is something that is a foundation of our Islamic community, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow it to continue to grow, not just in size and in number of medical practitioners or in the output that they perform, but also in the advice that they can give and in the legitimacy that they provide for our community here in Australia. And subhanAllah, one of the great challenges I think that lays ahead of us as we begin to literally battle and commit to a spiritual as well as a medical jihad towards the onslaught of disinformation and misinformation that is permeating within our community, that we set our aims on finding strength within ourselves, but accepting our weakness and limitations. And, you know, when Dr. Asif Jazahullah Khair, who's a dear friend and somebody who I've valued for many, many years and I've known for many, many years, he suggested that we have something, even though it's via Zoom, we can't gather together physically, but our hearts are always connected. And I said, well, look, something that I believe could be of importance is to understand that even within our strength, within our knowledge, within our expertise, within our systems, that there still remains areas of weakness. And the acceptance of that becomes a very important process of bettering ourselves for the future and of being able to live within ourselves and within our communities with a sense of awe and humbleness and humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So subhanAllah, as I began to think about the discussion, I wanted to stress upon a number of issues. First is that as human beings, alhamdulillah, Allah has created us, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. And Allah says that he has ennobled mankind, the children of Adam. Subhanallah, when Allah speaks about the children of Adam, of humanity, He describes them in two particular characteristics. There's only two descriptions that are used in the Quran. The first of them is a cognitive, which is al-insan, the one who's prone to forget. And the second is bashar, one who is, you know, a mammal that is furless. And of course, some of us have more fur than others amongst us as human beings, subhanAllah. But there's a physical dimension, and then there is an intellectual dimension. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets the balance between the two being the ruh, which is neither cognitive and neither physical, but something extra, something beyond. And therefore, Islam came to meet the needs of the mind, the body, and the soul. So Allah sent Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. So Islam is a very physical process. Iman is a very intellectual process, and Ihsan is a process of the heart. And each and every one of those is meant liyashuddana, to strengthen us and to provide for us meeting the gaps that are found in any one of the things. So each and every one of us, we will have a gap in something. Some of us may have a cognitive gap or an intellectual gap or a knowledge gap, but we have the physical and brute strength. We have the financial and economic prosperity. Others, they may have economic prosperity, intellectual prosperity, but they lack the spirit and they lack the heart. And subhanAllah, Islam came to try to be able to reform each and every one of those three things. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set the soul as being the ultimate source of strength for the one who is truly ennobled, Allah says, إِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ. It's not that the sight is blinded or they cannot be able to perceive and see, وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبِ. But it's the hearts that cannot detect, verify, understand, and have consciousness. And therefore, the word for a mind in the Arabic language is عَقْل, which means to confine something, to hold something together, right? So the aql is meant to hold your body from acting in an inappropriate way. And the soul is meant to mentor your mind to perform things in the right process. And when the soul is reformed, the heart is reformed, the mind can begin to think clearly, even if it is in opposition to what are social norms. So all of us, for example, and especially you as those trained in the sciences, if you were to be presented with a pork chop or a lamb chop from a distance, if you were to analyze it genetically or physically, if you were to look at it in terms of its color or size or shape, they look very similar once they're cooked. But why is one halal and one haram? Because your soul has accepted that there's a verifiable transmission from God that leads my mind to restrict myself from something that everybody else around me has not that restriction, has not limited themselves from it. So understanding that, we therefore need to come to understand that the ultimate source of strength for the believer is the strength of the soul, is the strength of that which is meant to confine the mind and to confine the body. And it's when the soul is able to engage with the conscious mind, it allows it to understand things that are difficult, like fate, like qadr. To accept what is bitter and what is sweet with equal contentment of heart. Ultimately, really, that is the aim that we all seek. That we can sit with the praise of Allah and the hamd and the thankfulness to Allah when we have been given what we think is fortune, even though it may be disguised as misfortune. Or we have been given fortune when sadly it's disguised as misfortune that we have not yet come to understand. And many of us, of course, we rejoice at the attainment of certain things, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرْرَأَهُ اسْتَغْنَى. But mankind is prone to excess once they feel themselves self-sufficient. And therefore, as I speak to my dear brothers and my dear sisters, the doctors of our Australian Islamic community, with that short introduction, we begin looking at finding strength, subhanAllah. Of the most important, I guess, words of advice that I would like to hear myself and that I receive, I guess, from those who are loving to me and loved by me, my wife and my children, is things that were also comforting to those who came before us, like our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like his family and friends. So when we look through the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is ultimately our source of precedent, لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. Surely in the example of the Prophet of God that is given to you is the most perfect of examples. صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the most perfect example for us was somebody who outwardly, if you were to look at his life, you would think he lived a life of hardship and a life that lacked سعادة, lacked what would be considered material success or what would be considered, you know, an upliftment. But rather we see that in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was أسعد الخلق, he was the happiest of people. And the reason for that is not what he received, but what he gave. So as Arab, we have this saying, أسعد الخلق من أسعد الخلق. The happiest of people is the one who is the purveyor, the giver, the sharer of happiness, and the provider of happiness into other people's lives. And therefore, the source of strength that a believer first turns to is to find comfort in the seerah of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to see the challenges that he overcame, to see the successes that he maintained and how Allah humbled him in it. So I like to give a couple of quick moments from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine, you know, that great day of victory of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the day of Badr, where Allah tells us that the angels even descended from the heavens to wage battle against the people of Quraysh who have renegated against the truth, and the Prophet was given victory. Yet as he entered into his Medina, victorious, having attained success, having fulfilled the covenant of Allah, having been protected by Allah, as he sets foot into Al-Medina, he's met by his brother, his son-in-law, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, who says to him in that moment of heightened happiness, your daughter Ruqayya radiallahu anha has passed away from an illness. And it's almost as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that moment of elevated happiness, but retains within him this sense that there is always something more that will be missing from the dunya that requires you to look for the akhirah. And in your greatest successes, in your greatest accomplishments, in your greatest achievements, look for the tempest and the storm that remains at the horizon, that when it arrives, that your heart is prepared to receive the good that you have with the bitterness that belongs in it, with equal praise and thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's one of the ways that when we are at our weakest, and it could be you've lost a patient or you're doing battle with disinformation and you're frustrated at how people are not, you know, I've been trained for 20 years to speak about the science and the statistics and the lab reports, and yet there's somebody who posts something on Instagram that has 300,000 likes, and what I'm saying that is the law of sciences and what is legitimate and true is passed over and glossed over. And that weakness of feeling unable, you can take comfort in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Could you imagine you receive the Quran and Jibreel is there reciting it to you, and then you're ordered to convey it, and then you stand in front of someone who is illiterate of faith, illiterate of spirituality, who is in need of what you are carrying, what you are conveying, and you sit with them and you say قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, and they would prefer to worship the pagan idol that they have worshipped all their life rather than to hear what is logical, what is common sense, and what is accepted. And subhanallah, the Prophet Allah describes him, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسُكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِ. Ya Muhammad, it is almost as if you are in such sorrow that it devastates your inside, your soul, when you notice their footprints. What is the meaning of this? The footprints, Abu Jahl and the others of Quraysh, they would sit outside the window of the Prophet ﷺ in the middle of the night while he reads the Quran in prayer. And they used to love hearing it. And they would be mesmerized by it. And they would sit there and they would say to each other, Wallahi innaka la ta'lama annahu haqq. You know it's the truth. Walakin la aqbalu. I'll never accept it. I'll lose my place in society. I'll lose my wealth and entitlements. I'll lose my chiefdom. I'm not going to accept somebody from another tribe. And all these other reasons distract, although they recognize the truth. And the Prophet would see their footprints outside his home, having sat there the night listening to the beauty of the Quran, and their hearts do not accept it. That moment of finding weakness where, what can I say? What more can I do? Is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow you to understand that ultimately, that which is the power of all things belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's for that reason that the Prophet ﷺ would love for his uncle to come to faith, but it's not material. It doesn't happen. Abu Talib does not come into faith. And even though the Prophet ﷺ loves him and makes dua and oh Allah, Abu Talib does not hearken. His heart does not come to iman. And Allah says to him, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْ. Not on account of your love does that mean that they will come into faith. Not just because you love them or desire it, Ya Muhammad. And that becomes a moment of weakness that gives strength, that Allah is the one who ultimately is in control. A second powerful moment from the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, and I divide it into two sections of his life. In the first instance, the first example of this is when the Prophet is making hijrah. And he leaves behind Mecca, and him and Abu Bakr are in the cave that is protecting them by the order of Allah. And Abu Bakr at that moment says, Ya Rasulullah, لو نظروا إلى أقدامي. If they just look to what is beneath their feet, لرأونا. They would see us. And at that moment, it's just Muhammad and Abu Bakr sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhu in the cave. And the Prophet has this strength and commitment and says, Ya Abu Bakr, don't underestimate two who the third with them is Allah. Your reliance is Allah. Fast forward to the day of Badr, the night before the battle. And the Prophet has raised his hands up to the heavens to such a degree that his cloak has fallen off his shoulders. And the whole night he's in prayer begging, Oh Allah, Oh Allah, Oh Allah, don't let us be defeated. Oh Allah, who will worship you if we are defeated? Oh Allah, Oh Allah, Oh Allah. And Abu Bakr now comes and says to the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, Allah will give you victory. What has changed? What caused the Prophet ﷺ, who had absolute certainty in the day of Hijrah, and now in this moment he has absolute reliance upon Allah and asking Allah for strength when he has an army and he has people around him? That becomes a very important point of what strength actually really means. When the Prophet ﷺ looked around him and 313 soldiers with him, he understood that his strength is not the numbers. His strength is not their weaponry. His strength is not strategy. His strength can only be Allah. And when you see that you've been given things and you've been given knowledge and you've been given place and you've been given a platform, that is the time for you to find that greater strength in your heart, which is humility and al-isti'ana billah. Oh Allah, help me to convey what you have asked. Oh Allah, help me to perform what you have allowed me to be trained for. It's not to rely upon oneself and say, my training will be enough. I will be suffice. I have my soldiers with me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in the first instance, when he's in the cave and he's isolated on his own with Abu Bakr, it is natural to have that commitment to Allah and say, we have no one but Allah. Allah will always see us. And therefore, whenever you see yourself in a position where you are giving rather than receiving, that is the place where you should seek to humble yourself and grovel before Allah and lower your humility. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man tawadha lillahi rafa." And even in the conveyance of that which we have surety of knowledge in, it becomes important to allow those who are unknowing of what we know the space and the opportunity to be given the platform and the space to ask their questions and to perform what it is that they need to come to the surety of knowledge that we had. And that's a really beautiful example from his seerah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The final example that I give in this regard with regards to strength is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who said to us, Al-mu'minu al-qawi ahabbu inda Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if. وَكُلُّهُمْ فِيهِ خَيْرٌ. The believer who's endowed with strength. Strength of mind, strength of faith, economic strength, political, social empowerment is more beloved in the sight of God than the believer, also a believer, who has little strength or who has weakness in comparison to the first. And that hadith is considered an asl in our sharia, that the one who has been given a place and a preference by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has been given something that others have not, then it becomes more accountability upon them to act within what they know and within the platform that they've been given to a degree that is greater than the one who remains ignorant of it and has not been given that same place and that same opportunity. Strength, therefore, is considered a double-edged sword. And that's something that the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, they understood from the Prophet ﷺ because he understood it from the prophets before him. Consider Musa alayhi salam. Imagine you are Musa in that moment, or you are witness to this moment where he's standing on the Mount of Tur Sina and Allah, Rabbul Izzah, from above the seven heavens speaks to him directly. And Allah says to him, Inni anallahu la ilaha illa ana fa'bud. I'm your Lord Musa. And Musa, fastami' lima yuha, absorb through all of your ability, hearing and sight, and even your feet, let it absorb from the ground, ikhla'an alayk, take off your shoes. Take in everything in this experience. Musa standing there in the presence of Allah's speech to him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, Musa, what do you want? What do you need for this journey? So Musa makes the dua that we all know. Qala rabbi shrah li sadri. Oh Allah, open my heart. Open my heart that Fir'aun can see I'm sincere. I'm not here for his power. I'm not here for his authority. I'm not here to destroy him. Let him see that I'm here for his betterment as well, his dunya and akhirah. Ishrah li sadri. Let my heart feel comfort that I can do this because it seems overwhelming. وَيَسِرْ لِي أَمْرِي. He's making dua for his enemy. Oh Allah, make this transition easy, meaning let him be one who is able to accept what I'm giving. Let Fir'aun accept this message. وَيَسِرْ لِي أَمْرِي. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي. Release the tie of my tongue. يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. That they can understand me. Now listen to this dua. وَاجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِنْ أَهْلِي. And give me my brother to assist me. Subhanallah. He has Allah. He's speaking to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he says, oh Allah, I need a helper. Subhanallah. Ya akhi, Allah is speaking directly with you. What help do you need more than Allah? Because people come, sometimes they think, no. I alhamdulillah, I have everything I need. I have all the tools for success. I have the strength and I have everything that is at my, everything is ready. But those who have the spiritual sight, they don't just think about with the aql, oh, God will assist me and he's given me my staff and if I perform, and he's already seen these miracles. Alqi ma fi yaminik, throw yourself. He sees all this. But he understands that in the journey, there needs to be teamwork and cooperation. And there needs to be the one who assists me so that I can assist more than those who I can assist on my own. And when Musa forgets that, Allah teaches him that lesson and it's a bitter moment. Later on in Surah Taha, as they crossed over the sea, Musa has, by the power of God, defeated Fir'aun and his army are drowned and Bani Israel has crossed over. And Musa says to his brother, أخلفني في قومي. Harun, you stay with them. You're a prophet as well. You stay with them. I'm going to hurry to Allah. I'm going to go quickly. I want to show Allah that I've, mashallah. And I will leave a path so you know your way to the mountain of Tur Sina. When Musa arrives alone, left behind his people, Allah says to him, مَا أَعْجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَى. Hey Moses, what brought you with earnestness that made you leave behind your people, O Musa? قَالَهُمْ أُولَاءِ عَلَىٰ أَثَرِي. I left for them a path. وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. I hurried to please you, O Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. إِنَّا فَتَنَّا قَوْمَكَ. Your people were tested. They began to worship the golden calf. They began to worship other than me because you did what I did not ask. Before I asked it, you relied on yourself and you forgot that your need was to serve the others. You came to please me but it was at the expense of those who my true pleasure was found in was your service of those who you were sent to protect. Go back to them. فَرَجَعَ مُوسَى إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ غَضْبَانَ أَسِفًا. Musa returns to his people angry at himself and sorrowful at what his people have gone into in their worship of other than Allah. And therefore, to find our strength is to find our purpose, but to find our strength is to come into collaboration. And therefore, seeing this wonderful entity, the Australian Islamic Medical Association, that you gather your strength, you share your knowledge, you provide for each other levels of gateways and expertise and openings and job opportunities and research, that becomes the lesson that we learn from these teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran. What remains in the last quick few minutes, inshallah, is to speak about weakness. And subhanallah, how weak we are as human beings. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yunus. Now, Surah Yunus is the first surah revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca about the nations that came before him as Muslims. The first prophet described to the Prophet ﷺ is the story of Yunus alayhi salam, who left his people, even though Allah had told him to continue to call them. He gave up on them when he knew the punishment was imminent. And Allah wanted this to be the first lesson to the Prophet ﷺ. Don't ever give up. Don't ever lose hope. Don't ever turn away. Don't ever hang it up and call it a day. There is always the mercy of Allah will come, even if it is not through your call. You are only a tool, Ya Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for the success of others. But the hidayah comes from me. Your job is to fulfill your duty. In Surah Yunus, one of the powerful verses that subhanAllah, when COVID began to take its shape and form, this ayah was central in my thought. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَتِ الْأَرْضُ زُخْرُفَهَا وَزَّيَّنَتْ. Until the moment that the earth took upon its splendor and its beauty. وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا. And the people who thought they dominated it believed falsely that they had control over this earth. أَتَاهَا أَمْرُنَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا. My command was delivered to this world, to this dunya, whether in a moment of the night or a moment by the day. فَجَعَلْنَاهَا حَصِيدًا كَأَنْ لَمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ. I turned this earth that had full vegetation and splendor and beauty, and they thought they controlled it, as if it had been mowed down to stubble, that you would not recognize its prosperity from before. كَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ. Such I give signs to mankind, لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ, to those who have a sense of discernment and mindfulness. Why is this ayah so powerful? SubhanAllah, you could never have said to me, أخي يحيى, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return us all to Hajj. For the last few years, I've been going to Hajj and leading groups and Umrah and my family. If you said to me, Akhi, the Hajj in 2019, where I was standing in a sea of 4 million people, if you said to me, Yahya, next year's Hajj in the day of Arafah, there will be 1,000 people, I would say an impossibility. What could ever happen to the world to not allow people to come to answer, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik? How? Impossible. أَتَاهَا أَمْرُنَا. The strength that at times we assume, even with our blindness of heart to the reality of who provides for us, الرزاق, الفتاح, العليم. And the names and the attributes of Allah are meant to allow us to recognize the absolute powers of Allah that are attainable through our worship of Him in His mercy and kindness to us as a Rahman, but not as a right of demand from the believer upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. And in these moments, My dear brothers, my dear sisters, our dear doctors, as you consider, you know, these viruses that are inhaled or ingested or touched, or the quickness of their spread and the pandemic scale and the changes that have come within humanity, our very meeting via Zoom and via these electronic means, if you consider that the weakness that we have that we assume is not there until Allah shows it to us, that in that is a great mercy from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And I ask you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always look towards the strength that remains with Allah when we recognize the weakness that we have within ourselves. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he encourages us, peace and blessings be upon him, to have husnul dhanni billah, to always esteem Allah in how we perceive whatever we have received from him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to limit the hope that ourselves and others have in Allah. I leave you with this ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلِ عَمَلُوا, say to them, work hard. فَسَيَرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ, your Lord is witness to your hard work. وَرَسُولُهُ, and your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was alive at that time, he is witness to it, and for us on the Day of Judgment, he will be witness to our deeds. وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُ, and the believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commit us to a process of love and continuance and hard work evermore. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullah anna khayra al-jazaa. وصلي اللهم وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا محمد. May Allah strengthen you and protect you and assist you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause you to be a source of pride for our community, keep you and your family safe, and use you for good for all of our citizens here in Australia. May you fight and wage this jihad of disinformation to proper information. And may Allah use you in the saving of life after life, that you find it in your scale on the Day of Judgment. Allahumma ameen.
JazakAllah khair. Thank you very much, Sheikh Yahya, for this brilliant lecture. Alhamdulillah, it was very thought-provoking. May Allah give you bundle and enough jaza for everything that you're doing. Now is the time for the question and answer session. Please raise your hand if you want to ask any question, and I will let you in. Please open your mic and before asking a question. So floor is open. You may ask any question and raise your hand. Thank you. As we are contemplating, Sheikh, for the question, can I ask you one question about, particularly in this time, a difficult time that we are going through? In my intensive care unit, there are many patients who are struggling with COVID pneumonia on ventilator, and we are really at time we are feeling so weak, or so incapacitated, that all our knowledge and training is not enough to address this new kind of a disease that is occurring, and it is evolving. But we feel sometimes so weak, and so how would you advise us in those moments of our weakness that we are not feeling up to the mark that our community is expecting of us, how to address that situation? Thank you.
Jazakallah khair, doctor. So I think there's a number of things to unpack in that question. The first of them is the importance of continuity in knowledge. And mashallah, you know, with our dear doctors, jazakumullah khair, there's always this upskilling and the uptraining and the constancy that you have been blessed with. And that becomes something that, you know, becomes not just a professional development and standard, but it becomes something that goes beyond that into being an act of ibadah. So, you know, I say to you, Dr. Asif, you hitting the books and you analyzing a lab report and looking at things that are going to give you the tools that will assist in your wards and in your rounds, becomes an act of worship that can be better than your nafl salah and your tahajjud prayer. So if you were to sit in the middle of the night to study and be prepared for will come towards us in the next month or two by reading what has happened in other lands and in other places to get ourselves ready, this is greater than your tahajjud prayer in that regard. The number two, the second is to also recognize our limitations. And subhanAllah, sometimes we overburden ourselves. And actually, that's the next discussion at 7:30. I'm speaking with Sister Monique Tuhi about psychology and keeping ourselves ready to meet challenges in life. Sometimes we overburden ourselves and we don't step back from the things that we should. And even our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were moments where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, stop, wait. وَلَا تَعْجَلْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يُقْضَى إِلَيْكَ وَحِيُ. Ya Muhammad, wait, let the Qur'an settle with you. Don't be hurried to recite it to your companions. Because as soon as it would come, the Prophet wants to share it. So Allah would hold him back sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from that. And the third and final thing to this, I guess, important question is to find your support with those who can assist you in what you cannot do on your own. Just like the example of Musa and Harun. And mashallah, this consultative body. And I know, mashallah, you're part of my WhatsApp group on, very early on. I think maybe now over a year, we set up the Muslim Medical Advisors group from across the world. We were honored, yes, alhamdulillah, that you would join me, just so that we can share information from everywhere. Medical Board of England and America, all of these different countries came together because it's important that we collaborate with this purpose. Wa jazakallah khair.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. Dr. Shafiata, your hand was raised.
I think he's answered it.
Dr. Al-Hassan? Dr. Al-Hassan is our pediatric advanced trainee. Dr. Al-Hassan?
Okay, طيب السلام عليكم شيخ ابراهيم
وعليكم السلام.
With your fantastic talk, and I think exactly to the point, as a health professional, I think one of our weakness and frustration I feel, especially I'm from Sydney, especially among our Muslim community, the vaccine hesitation and the conspiracy theories, and it, unfortunately it seemed to be supported by some sort of religious of belief, and unfortunately, I also disappointed. I find some of brothers who claim to be Mashaykh actually not supported when we approach some of them. Initially, we tried to do like a podcast, about COVID and about just to get the misconception. And I think I get declined from two of brothers, and I felt very weak and frustrated, and I don't so. One of the things that I'm not quite sure, question-wise, I think we need a partnership between religious scholars and medical professionals. I think I just felt that partnership, especially here in Sydney, is a bit weak. And I'm not quite sure how we approach that. And I really, and I have my own experience even among my close family members.
Yes.
Between them with vaccination, with facts, and actually even from our medical history, how, Ibn Sina, his books, Al-Ghanun, how the quarantine, it comes from an Arabic, Al-Arba'in, is the 40 days. All this very rich, and even about the hadith, about Zadakhal al-Ta'un, Balat Allah, Tuhuna, Takhru, all this about the experience Umar radiallahu anhu, with Abu Ubaida Amr ibn al-Jarrah, going to Shia, and they have to return back. All the rich things is referenced in our religious in early days, and we were a pioneer. And suddenly now we at the end, I really feel we are in very weak point, and I'm not quite sure how we lift our moral and role in that point.
Thank you very much, Dr. Al-Hassan. Thank you.
As Dr. Asif will be witness to, the same questions that you are raising, my dear Dr. Al-Hassan, are the same conversation that myself, Dr. Asif, were witness to 1 year ago in the United Kingdom doctors. And sadly, 20,000 people have died, many of them from the Islamic community, many masajid, many grandfathers, fathers, and sons, three in one. Every week I would get 6, 7, 8, 10 messages. Subhanallah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The same thing coming out of South Africa from the last 6 months. Some of the great ulama, subhanAllah, over 198 ulama have passed away. especially the masajid that refused to quarantine. So the reality is that where we are heading is not going to be eliminated just as a battle of knowledge. And that's why I call it jihad. Alhamdulillah, you know, I've been Pfizer'd since May. So I've had, you know, both my shots since May, mashallah. But it's not something that I put on social media or shared. I just kept it private to myself. But it is something that now I think it's going to have to happen. There's two problems that have occurred. One is that the federal government spoke about financial support to communities and community centers for helping in COVID. So people thought that therefore they're paying imams or paying people to tell them to take the vaccines. This is a big problem. And I think it's a marketing problem. It's not actually a medical problem. It's marketing. And as Muslims, we're very bad at marketing. We're very bad at teaching people things in a sophisticated ways. So we need to use and come together with a marketing plan that involves imams, involves community leaders, involves government officials, involves certainly our frontline medical forces to begin to not address the disinformation, because those who are listening to the disinformation, they're only hearing it because it's in their face. But we need to show the positives and where we are headed to and what the goal end is, not just the negativity of if you don't do it, people die. And we have to be, I think, a little bit more tactful. The second thing, I guess, that I will say about this, dear doctor, is that for us as Muslims, one of the problems with our communities is that we have very few people who actually attend to doctors when they feel like pain. Or so in our culture, holding on and being a man and not saying I'm in pain or I'm hurt until it's gone to the end has always been a problem. So even with my father, subhanAllah, I'll say, I have to ask him 10 times, how are you? Until he finds, oh yeah, actually I have a little pain here. I say, okay, you need to go to the doctor. Because, we have, I read Al-Fatiha, I made ruqya, olive oil in the ear will take away the flu, all these kind of, but this is a cultural assertion. It's a cultural acceptance. So we have to understand that culture is not going to change. So what are the ways that we can engage that culture and maybe do the home visits, maybe do the inoculations in the homes, be able to, instead of people going out, I had one of my uncles say, I'd never go stand in a line. What is this? No, when everybody's done, then I'll go. But it's just a way of looking at things not in a hostile way, but in a way that is inconvenient for whatever other reasons. But sadly, I do agree with you, Dr. Hassan. We are on the cusp of bigger problems within our communities. If we do not begin to address it together, it will be difficult. I know Dr. Asif has written for me about some promotional videos and things like that. One of the requirements I actually said was, I don't want it to be funded by the government. Why? Because it will weaken the message that we're trying to do. I would rather that we raise money within ourselves. Wallahi, I'll commit to it for myself. Let's put our money together and do something that we can put forward so that people eliminate the thing, oh, he's a scholar for dollars, he's only there for the money, this is da 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 da. This isn't what, it is not going to help our community in the long term. Wallahu ta'ala.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. Thank you very much. Now, we understand that Sheikh has to go at 7:30 for another talk. I think we should call for this last question.
Last question.
NH, I don't know. NH, please introduce yourself.
There is a question in the chat from Sister Zina. Maybe it's a long time waiting there.
Okay,
I'll give up my question, Asif. This is Nader.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Dr. Nader. Dr. Nader is our consultant psychiatrist, much needed in this extended lockdown period. Thank you very much.
I'll let the sister ask the question and I'll give a mine. So maybe we can discuss it later, inshallah.
Inshallah. And honestly, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, I am happy to commit to every 6 weeks or every month even, you know, to have a 1 hour or 2 hour session if you are happy with it. And other speakers, it doesn't have to be just me. Maybe we can come together and do something positive like this. So, you know, don't look at it as a last opportunity. I look forward to engaging with you again in the future, inshallah.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. I appreciate for you this generosity. Dr. Aftar, I cannot see this question of Dr. Sister Zainab. If you see, please read it for me.
Yeah. Dear Sheikh, we as the doctors often are faced with Muslim patients who are anxious and scared to a level beyond what we consider normal. Is there any Islamic service where we can refer those patients?
Subhanallah. Wallahi, it's something that we're battling with here in Perth. Believe it or not, in our WA, we have, you know, a large Muslim community in Perth. We don't have a single paid Islamic chaplain in the hospital service. Can you believe it? There isn't a single one. So myself and others, we will volunteer and we will go visit people. But there isn't a pastoral service that has yet been set up. So these are things that I think we need to make those demands, and perhaps you can help me in that regard. I you know, the Perth doctors, inshallah, maybe we can have a private session and try to work our way to doing something like this. Three advice, I guess, when it comes to Muslim patients. The first of them is sometimes we have to put the patient's needs more than their family. So sometimes, you know, I will get a call from one brother. He will say, Sheikh Yahya, my father is passing away, but my sisters and my mother, they don't want any imam to come because they think it will scare my father. They think if he sees coming somebody to tell him about Allah or something, it's going to make him upset. Sometimes as imams, we actually have to take the patient's interest more than the feelings of the mother. And so I say to him, listen, Ya Akhi, why don't you take them to the cafeteria and I will sneak in. Wallahi, sometimes I have to be James Bond to make my way through to meet with a patient, you know, just to remind them of Allah and to say the Shahada, and they feel better about it, right? So the patient, it has to be a patient first service. Number two is sometimes the best therapy is from other patients as well, or other people who can support them that are other than their own family or us as medical practitioners. I found at times with cancer patients, some of the best people who have assisted those who are in their final, you know, days and weeks and hours is that they hear from other people as well, and they sit together. We don't have in Perth a service where there are those kind of peer counseling groups and people together that are Muslim patients who speak with each other about, you know, the chemotherapy and the journey and what food works and what doesn't and those kind of things. The third thing that I would say is sometimes it's important to be direct. And, you know, when people are a little bit anxious, I think being direct with them in a way that allows them to understand the condition they're in, or that the fear that they have is not something that they need to worry about. And the aspect of communication becomes really, really important. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses all of you for good, supports you in this endeavor, assists you inshallah for many, many, many productive years. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you success and honor, and allows you the opportunity to be to continue to save lives and to affect happiness in other people's lives for many years to come. And may your families be the first source of your comfort, and you therefore first source of comfort. Allahumma ameen. May you be the rocks that our community rises on in these dark days that may lay ahead. But remember, al-duha, that as much as we need the sunrise, we also, wal-layli idha saja, we need the night as well. Because without the day and night, the difficulty and the hardship, without the happiness and the sorrow, life is not what it would be as complete with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah strengthen you and support you and assist you. I look forward to engaging with you again. Jazakallah khair, Dr. Asif, for inviting me. And all of my dear brothers, I'm humbled. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. I really appreciate that. And thank you very much, inshallah.